Welcome back, people, to the Table Read podcast. That feels very weird to say because it's been, what's a month today? September, February. It's been about 7 months since I did the last episode of this podcast, which is crazy. I promise there's good reason for it. But before we get into that elephant in the room, obviously, we're in a different room, basically. There's not really much more to say about it. New space, new time, new era. Actually, no. I'm going to give you the real reason. So the podcast, where I filmed the podcast last time, it was basically someone's house, innit? And I don't know if my man sold the house, I don't know if he's moved, but he's not answering my phone. Like, I've called him, I've messaged him, I've done everything. The guy won't pick up. So, yeah. I hope he's okay. Nothing's wrong. But as far as I'm concerned, I can't get into the man's house anymore because I can't even get on his phone. So this is the new space. This is the new spot. I wouldn't call it a permanent spot. I call it a regular spot because there's going to be some things that I'll talk about towards the end where there's going to be opportunities to do podcast episodes in different environments based on who we talk to, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I would say this is it's a regular spot. You'll definitely see this more than once, but you're definitely not going to see it every single time. There will be chances to switch up and move on. But, yeah, admin out of the way. 7 months since the last episode, that was in February time. I believe the last guest was Don Warrington, the man himself. What has happened since that last episode? The main thing in that episode was talking about a lot of Death in Paradise stuff, and there was a lot that I couldn't talk about because I was leaving the show. Obviously, now we know that I've left the show, the episode's aired. Have they announced the new? No, they've announced a new detective, not a new cast member yet, but yeah. Man's gone. Man left Death in Paradise. 4 years. Hold on. Let me make sure I get this right. Let me make sure I get my numbers, my stats right before we go anything. 4 years, 28 episodes, and 3 specials. Really 3.5 years because I didn't do the whole of series 10, 11, 12, 13. I didn't do the whole of 13, so 3.5 years. The reason I left Death in Paradise. Now, I'm going to give you like 60% of the reason, mainly because 40% of it is quite boring. Like, it's, if you get it, you get it, innit? Like, I can tell you like what the 40% is, but you're not probably going to understand it. So I'll give you the 60% that I feel like people will understand. And it's mainly just because just wanted to try something new. You know, when you're on a show for 4 years, basically grew up on the show. Like, Death in Paradise was, it sounds crazy, but it was my uni experience. Like, I left at 22, started at 18. So that's basically my university years. You know, you learn a lot about yourself as a person, as an actor, as a creator. And yeah, it just felt like it was time to go. I felt like I'd got everything I needed to get out of the show when it came to experience. I felt like my character had his arc and it's run its course. And yeah, I wish I could tell you a lot more, but like I said, it's just, number one, I'll be here all day. Like, I don't talk about an hour about why I left the show because I know how some of these publications had to move, though. I'll say something, then I'll create. Yeah, let's not do that. But yeah, it was time to go. It was time to go. When I joined the show, I'd never done a long-running TV show before. I never filmed in blocks before. I didn't even know what that was, if I'm being honest with you, when I got to the show. It was a lot of firsts. Like, it was a lot of firsts when I first joined that show. And after, I'd say maybe after 3 years of the show, if I'm being transparent, I felt like I was ready to go. After 3 years of the show, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I want to move on. I'm the kind of person, if you know me, I don't like getting too comfortable. Like, I don't like getting bored. I don't like having to basically force myself to find reasons to stay somewhere. If that makes sense. Like, I should just want to stay. And that's it. I don't have to keep telling myself, well, stay because of that or stay because of this. Like, it was just getting to that point where I was like, all right, cool. What reason do I have to stay on the show? Because I'm good. Like, I'm done. Like, I've it's run its course, innit? That's an era of my life that's done, innit? I don't think I have to keep dragging it on and on and on. And I definitely didn't want to get to the point where, like, I was forcing myself to leave. Like, again, I can't. If you know, you know, innit? If you get it, you get it. The people that know that are around me will know what I'm talking about. But if you're not around it, I'm saying a lot of stuff that you're probably not going to understand. But to keep it simple, to keep a short story short, it was time to move on. It was time to just evolve and elevate. And don't get it twisted, I love that show. Like, I've always said, like, on paper, it is the best job in the world. in my opinion, personally, as an actor, like, you get to, when you're an up-and-coming actor and you just think of what you want to do in your career, I think you go, I want to travel the world. I want to have a long-running contract. I want to be on a show that is shown all over the world. Oh my God. I want to meet and work with amazing people, whether they are established or new actors. I don't really care. I just want to enjoy myself. That's basically what Different Paradise is. People might disagree, depends who you talk to, but as someone that was there for 4 years, that is basically the essence of the job. It's amazing on its good days. Like any other job, it has its bad days. But, you know, when you're having a bad day and you go back home to your pool and you're sipping pina coladas overlooking the sunset, you kind of forget what happened in this bad day, if you know what makes sense. So it was tough to leave. Don't get it twisted. Like, it's very hard to leave that kind of job knowing that your next job is probably going to be in a flipping warehouse somewhere in West London. We'll get to that. But you got to do what you got to do, man. You got to do. I had a lot of people telling me that I was mad to leave that show. I had people telling me that they, you know, respected me leaving the show. Most people honestly were saying, like, what do you think you're doing? Like, why would you want to leave such a comfortable situation? Like, as an actor, once you leave a job, you don't know when you're going to work again. It could be a year, it could be 2 years. You never know. I've had a job where I was consistently working for 4 years. And I knew I was working. After my first season, I knew I had a second, I knew I had a third. Like, I knew, like, cool, I got 6 months in London, then boom, I'm off working, getting paid. No actor would want to leave that, but I think the ones that get it, get it. You have to do what you got to do eventually. When you get to a certain age, not even a certain age, when you get to a certain point in your career where you've just learned certain things and you've evolved in a certain way, you just got to do what you got to do, man. And then, you know, it is what it is. If it doesn't work out, if the risk doesn't end up with high rewards, charge it and move on. But yeah, love to everyone that was on that show. Love to all the cast and crew. Love to the producers. Love to the directors, all I worked with. Love to the fans. You lot are amazing. You lot are mad, but I love you lot to bits, man. So right now, I'll tell you right now, I didn't touch on it properly when I spoke about why I haven't done a podcast in 7 months. The main reason is I honestly have just been relaxing and chilling and just doing nothing. Like, when I mean nothing, I mean literally nothing. Usually nothing to me means, all right, cool, I might write a script today, or I might plan something, I might think about some concepts for what I'm going to do when I do get back to work. I've literally been doing absolutely nothing. I haven't even been doing that for the last like 6-7 months, because last year was a long year, man. We was flying with the podcast episodes early last year, even from late 2022 into 2023. It was flying. I think I was uploading episodes weekly. I need to double check, but I feel like I did about 6 or 7 episodes, maybe 8, and I dropped them weekly, which might not sound crazy to some people that do podcasts, but when it's just me and Billy, we're using our own equipment, it's out of my own pockets, I don't have no producers, I don't have no companies, no sponsors and stuff to help me out of it. It's long, bro. Like, to organize one episode alone is a mad thing. It's long. I got to think about my timetable, Billy's timetable, what my guests are doing, where do they live, like, if the studio space, your mama wants to answer his phone, if he's available to let me in, like, it takes a long time. So before I went out to do my last season on DIP, I was already tired. Like, I was already knackered just from doing this alone. Then did Death in Paradise, finished that, then went on to another job that we'll get into briefly in a minute. So yeah, for like most of 2023, I've been working, bro. Like, I've been tired. And I'm the kind of person where I can work. Like, don't get twisted, I can work all day and night. I can work days upon days without a rest, but I do like taking a rest, and I'll take a rest any single time I feel like I need to take a rest. Obviously, I can't take a rest when I'm on a job right there and then. Like, I can't. I gotta work when they tell me my schedule's working, innit? So when the new year kicked in and I had no projects lined up to shoot, I only had one podcast episode in mind, which was Don's one. Yeah, like, I didn't really have anything that I felt like I wanted to do right then in that moment. So I was like, let me just bake off and do nothing. I'll be real, it extended much longer than I thought it would. I thought I would be doing nothing for like 2 months. I've been doing nothing for 7 months now. But I don't regret it, man. I've been enjoying myself. It's nice doing nothing for once. Like, you don't realize how much you need a rest until the rest actually gets there. And you clock the rest can last for as long as you want it to. If that makes sense. Obviously, I've been doing self-tapes and stuff, so anything could have changed at any moment. But for the most part, I knew that, boom, I decide what I'm going to do. If I want to work, I can work. If I don't want to work, I don't have to work. And I've just been enjoying not working and just enjoying my time and being around people that I ain't been around. It's mad. Like, I feel like I've been meeting so many people that I probably should have met like 3 years ago, like mutual friends and stuff. Like, if you know, you know. If you've been around me, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that I've been meeting recently that I should have really known by now. But because I'm not in the country, how am I ever going to meet these people? So it's just been nice to socialize and just be in my city, just enjoying my time and being around family and friends and whatnot. So yeah, going back to 2023 now, when I said that I did the podcast, DIP, and then one more in that. So that is a project that I'm not going to talk too much about, because we will potentially have episodes that are going to get into that specifically with people from the show. So I'll keep it brief for now. But that show is called Mr. Loverman. It's a BBC series by the best-selling author Bernardine Evaristo, adapted by Nathaniel Price, starring Lenny James, Sharon D. Clarke, Arian Makari, Tamara Lawrence, Charlene White, just to name a few. There's way more, but I'll be here all day if I was naming the legendary actors that are in it. Myself, of course. Yeah, like I said, I won't get too much into it, because we're going to talk about that properly in depth. Like, it's going to get its own individual episodes sometime in the future. I don't even have a TX date to tell you lot, so I can't even tell you when it's coming out, because I actually don't know. But I know that when that time comes, we'll be here talking about it. But yeah, all I can say from my part is I'm in it a decent amount. I've got a great character. It's a great story. It's one of them kind of projects, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, where when I did Small Acts, for example, which was the project I did just before Death in Paradise, summer 2019, I was barely in Small Acts. I had maybe 4 or 5 scenes in one episode, and I probably spoke in 3 out of 5 of those scenes. So I was barely in it. Like, a lot of people that I meet, when I told them I was in Small Acts, they go like, oh yeah, I love that show, yeah, yeah, yeah. I go, yeah, yeah, I was in it. They go, was you? I'm like, yeah, I know. I was in it. I was in it to a certain extent. But it's one of them projects where, like, I didn't really care how much I was going to be in it. I just wanted to be in it. And this Mr. Loverman is very similar. I mean, I'm in it way more than I'm in Small Acts, which is great. But when I first got the brief for it, I didn't know how much of it I was going to be in. I knew that I was I think they described it as like a series reg, but that a series reg could be one episode, one scene in one episode, one scene in each episode, sorry. So I didn't really know how much I was really going to be in it until I got the part, really, and I got sent all the scripts, and then I clocked, okay, cool, I'm actually in this thing for real. But before that, I was like, I just want to be in this. I just want to be in it. The story it's a beautiful story, based on a beautiful book. No, I can't say that. I'm going to wait. Like I said, there's a lot I want to talk about when it comes to this series, but there's more opportunities to talk about it. So I won't get too much into the actual story and the content just yet. I'll just speak about me personally. And even when I deep it, I said to myself, after Death in Paradise, the next one I wanted had to be very specific. It needed to be one at home. I wanted to be filming at home, so I can go back to my bed after I finish shooting. I wanted to be not in it too much, because Death in Paradise, you know, I wasn't the lead character, but, you know, I was a main character, so I'm in it. It varied. Some episodes I just wouldn't be in the thing. I don't know what writers were on, but it just wouldn't put me in it half the time, and I'll have like weeks off. Other times I'll be in it, and I'll be in every single day. On average, I'd say I'll be in maybe like 3 out of 5 days of the week, and one of those days I'd have like one scene. So I was in enough. So I said I wanted my next role to be at home, not in all the time. I also said I wanted it to be my neutral accent. I don't really have my neutral accent in Mr. Loverman, I'll be real. It's close enough, but it's not my neutral accent, so I didn't get that. But other than that, Mr. Loverman was the perfect role for me after DIP. It's at home, shoots in London. I'm not in it that much. I'm in it enough for me. I'm in it way more than I want to be, honestly, when it comes to, I'm not the kind of actor that needs to be a lead character. Obviously, it's great, but if I'm in a good story, playing a good character, I don't care how much I'm in, as long as I'm in it, man, as long as I've got something to do. So, yeah, don't get it twisted. If my agent called me saying, yeah, boom, Netflix want you to play a lead character in this movie that shoots in South Africa for 6 months, and you've got to do an Australian accent, I'm probably going to take it. Like, don't get it twisted. I'm probably going to take it. It wouldn't be ideal, but I'm not going to say no. I'm just saying, ideally, that's what I wanted, and Mr. Loverman was probably as close as I'm ever going to get. So then when I say that I wanted to be doing a role where I could do other things in between. I meant like my podcast. Like I wanted to be able to do my podcast in between shooting. But it was weird. Like for some reason when I did Mr. Loverman, I didn't really have time to do podcast episodes. But I did have time to shoot an entire short film though. Which it doesn't make sense. If you were with me, it made sense. But it's weird. Like how would I not have enough time to do a 30 minute podcast episode, but I got time to do a 20 minute short film, which takes way more planning. I don't know. It worked out. We made it. Crosshatch. Out now. I say out now. I haven't released it, but it's floating around some festivals here and there. Written by your boy. Directed by your boy. Starring your boy. Exec produced by your boy. Funded by your boy. Soundtrack. Lyrics by your boy. I did a lot on this thing, man. For the first and last time, I did damn near everything I possibly could have on this short film, but it was my first time. I've been writing scripts since I was like 13 years old. But I just never did it really. Not even a procrastination thing. Like I just never had the means or the resources or just the know-how to make my own stuff. And also most things that I write, it's not really, I don't have the capacity to film it. Like for example, we're going to get Billy in a second, but I remember when I messaged Billy asking him if he wants to help me make a short film. I said, okay, cool. What am I going to do? Because I've got scripts. If you know me, I've got scripts for days. Like I've got features. I've got like half done pilots. I've got finished pilots. I've got whatever. So I was like, cool. What am I going to do? I had the perfect script where I was like, this is going to be sick. I've got good people that I know that can be in it. I could possibly be in it. But then I read episode one. And like the first scene was like a London rooftop overseeing the city. We fly in from a drone and we see our main character dripped in Fendi from head to toe. He looks down and sees a sea of Lamborghinis parked up. I'm like, okay, cool. That 30 seconds alone is about 5 or 6 grand, which was the entire budget for my short film. So obviously that we couldn't do that. That was not ever gonna happen. So I basically cooked up a script from scratch in about a week. I think it was a time when I just wasn't in the episode for DIP, so I had like a week off. So I basically cooked up a script in a week's time about a kid that's got mixed personality disorders. It's really a feature. It's a really a feature. The original feature has 6 personalities. For the short, I bring it down to 2. Yes, 2. He's got his own self, his neutral self, then 2, they're called pink and red, who are just polar opposite personalities. Yeah, it's a cool little short, man. I don't know if I'm ever going to release it. If I do, it will be on this channel. I'm not too sure yet. Because honestly, it was a test, if I'm being completely honest with you. An expensive test, but a test nonetheless. Like, I never had any of my writing be on screen before. I barely even had any of my writing being read by other people before, if that makes sense. Like, it's only now that I'm planning to do my next short and my other ones that keeps changing. So there's one short that I'm meant to be doing this year that I'm actually not going to do anymore. But the script has been floating about for people that were going to be in it, give me feedback and stuff. So yeah, it was just good to finally write something and get it off the page and get it done. And it's been doing okay. Like I put it into a shit ton of film festivals. I don't know why. Half of them I didn't even know. But yeah, man, I'm new to this, innit? But I put it in Bear. It got picked up for a few. It'll be in Greenwich Film Festival, I believe next week. It depends on the posters, I'm not too sure, but I'll put, if anyone wants to go and watch it, if you're in the Greenwich area, I'll put a link to the description where you can get tickets and that. I won't be there, I'll be honest with you. I'm watching my boy Tariq show. Big up my boy Tariq. But yeah, it was in a festival in New York, which I went out there briefly for, to the networking event, which was cool. It was in, I believe it's called Field Real International Film Festival, which was the first one I got picked up for. They gave us a nice, good, detailed, in-depth review. Just about the story, about how it was made, about me as a director. I'll link that as well if anyone wants to read that. But yeah, it was a fun experience. It was mad doing everything. Like when I watch it, I'm not too happy with my acting because I really couldn't focus much as an actor when I also had to focus on the directing, how it's gonna look and timings and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, that definitely is the first and last time I will ever be doing all of those roles at the same time. Because it's impossible. It's impossible to do all of them to a high level when you're doing all of them at the same time. You just can't. So, yeah, it was fun. The main reason why I want to do it again is because I feel like I can do better. Like, I never want to just leave something knowing that I didn't do it to the best of my ability. So, watching the short, I'm like, yeah, like, it's a good short film in hindsight. If you think of everything that went into it, the process of getting it done. But if I look at it just purely as a film, I'm like, yeah, like, it's cool. Like, it's all right. But as a filmmaker, I just don't want to make cool, all right films. I want to make good, proper, out of this world projects. So I'm going to keep directing until I feel like I've made one. Once I've made one, I'll pass the baton. I'll work with other directors and let them do their thing. But yeah, it's just another little muscle I've got to flex and keep working out until I get to where I want to get to. But the person we need to speak to, who isn't here right now, who's going to come and sit down, is Mr. Billy Holland, who you don't know him as the person who helps out with the podcast episodes, but he also produced Crosshatch, and I'll let him talk about why he produced Crosshatch. So, Mr. Holland, if you would like to come and join me, sir, we'll get into your shit. So, ladies and gents, this is Mr. Billy Holland. You all know Billy Holland. I mean, well, it depends on how long you've been watching the podcast for. You know him as... We was in a CBBC show together, Class Dismissed. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Then we kept in contact through the podcast. And now we also are producing films together. It's looking like... we did one, but we're probably going to do more. I mean, we definitely are doing more. We're not going to talk about that yet. We definitely are doing another one this year. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we can say this is like kind of your mini episode.
I don't know, man. I was not told about this.
I know, yeah. So... I thought about this on the way here. I was like, I can't talk about the short film without talking about Billy because he's an integral part to how you got the film made.
Appreciate that.
So, so how can we do this? So,
yeah, I don't know.
I called you up.
Yeah.
Because of what you did for work.
Yes.
What do you do for work?
So, I work in the film industry. So, mm-hmm. I kind of left acting to become a producer and a director.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working in the industry all my life, and I thought, let's give it a go, So I started doing loads of like feature films on the production side, basically learning how to be a producer,
mm-hmm.
you know, learning how to be a director, and
everything,
any knowledge I can get, I'll have.
Mm.
So I was doing all of that, and so I had like a basic understanding of how to produce, because I left college and then like I still would act, mm. but like similar to what, you know, but I left college where I studied it, and then I actually, funnily enough, got kicked out of college because I started working too much on film.
Okay, I thought we were going to have a whole different reason to why you got kicked out.
No, bro.
I was to say, what's going on?
No, I got kicked out of college because I was working on film too much, and my attendance was like really low.
Oh, I hear it.
I was like, this is what I got to do, I suppose, you know? So I started doing loads of feature films. Recently just done like an American Hallmark Christmas movie type thing. So yeah, it's basically like, just trying to be a producer in any capacity, you know, and
exactly. So when it came to me making a short film and I was like, I need a producer, you know, if I got my man right there, who else am I going to ask?
Really? Yeah, right.
Who else am I going to ask?
Made sense.
But I want to ask your experience on working. Yeah. And obviously, like you said, you've been working as a producer or production assistant for ages.
Yeah.
But this being... your like first producer credit. Yeah. I mean, it's not a massive credit.
I think
it's you know, it's our little short film.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the first. Like, I mean,
yeah,
exactly. I'm putting down as my first time directing.
No, exactly.
I'm trying to say so.
Yeah.
Your first time being in the producer. Cause we didn't let you off, my guy. Like, if anything needs to be done, was that Billy, producer, Mr. Producer? Like, come on, G. I get all of us. We had a great crew. Shout out to Oscar, James, Kelsey. Shout out to all the men.
Oh, mate, amazing
we had a
team.
Great
amazing
crew.
Team.
But like, when it came to people's roles, we made sure you did your role. Like, if there's any writing questions, like, Oscar's a capable filmmaker.
Yeah.
I think even James does filmmaking. So they could have gave me input on some of the stuff.
I knew what they
went, Taj, you wrote it. You're directing it. What are we doing? Vice versa with Oscar. Yeah. Like, what do you want, Taj? I'm like, I don't know how to work cameras, my boy. You know what you're doing. So we did the same for you. So how did you find it? Because how many days did you shoot? 3-day shoot?
I think it was 4 at the end, was it not? No, three to three.
Well, three, two we, and a half, really, because we did yeah, one.
We kind of had to work out one day quick.
never a dull day. So, yeah, two and a half, that's 3 days.
Yeah.
One day was, like, top to bottom, morning till evening.
Non-stop, yeah.
The second was the same.
Yeah.
Then one was just an evening to late night, basically.
That was the very last day.
The very last day. We might talk about that. I can't. It still hurts. I can't lie. But yeah, I'm trying to get off topic. So yeah, how did you find it? First time as a producer, how was the experience for you?
Yeah, so
be honest, if there was anything that I did that made it shit.
You were amazing, to be honest. I was like, basically, you called me and was like, right, so there was no real type of starting point. Like, we had to start from fresh. Like, basically, there was nothing, really.
I think the script wasn't even done by the
time. Yeah, and my first question too was, like, how much do you want to spend on it?
That too.
You know? And then you gave me one number. I don't know if you want me to say, but you gave me one number and you said...
I can't remember. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, you said anything kind of in the 9 to 10 range.
Yes.
Yes, like 9, 10 grand.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay, from my knowledge, that's going to be difficult, yeah. Right? Because, like, I don't know, like, people watching, like, you literally need, like, it's very hard to get someone to do something for cheap, you know? And like, so I was like, I'm sitting there. So I'm writing a budget, you know? Like, I'm like, oh, why does this budget say 20 grand? You know?
I didn't even know that.
And I was like, that was me. That was me just putting in the basics as well. And I was like, fuck, you know? And then I remember literally stripping it down to bare bones. I had a conversation with you saying, people can't have teams. They have to be on their own. Like, we're going to have to cut makeup. We're going to have to cut costume. You're going to have to do that, you know?
Oh, might as well.
And then I remember, like, and I got it down to, like, 5 or 6.
It ended up being that. Without, for production.
Yeah, that was the main
before post stuff.
Before post. It got down to, like, 5 or 6-ish. Yeah. And I was like, okay. You know, I think he's going to be happy with that.
Yeah, what do you mean? If I told him 10 and you go 5, I'm like, half price,
so
I'll take it.
I was like, so I was pretty light. As a first time, like, doing, like, a budget and really starting to, like, get into it in that regards, you know, I was like, I was quite pleased with myself that I got it down to that. And then it was actually, that was all theoretical, you know? And then I had to start making phone calls, right? Because I've been working in the industry, the main part for me was to get people that I could trust, you know? And so then I called Kelsey, Oscar, and James, because literally they're the only...
The three musketeers.
And the only three people we could really afford. Not that they weren't, like, they...
They need to up their price.
Yeah.
I hope they did after amazing, this. Like, I know the next time I'm going to work with them, they're definitely going to get paid way more.
Yeah.
And they should be up. And when I clocked it, I was like...
Yeah.
You know, your prices are way too low for what you can
That was also, bear in mind, like, I literally begged them to, like...
It's a matrix.
Like, I was like, please, like, yeah, fairs, like we're fairs, making fairs. It's a mission, it's a dream, you know, like, and we got it down to that. And then it actually got down to, like, booking stuff, like Airbnbs as well, like making sure people have places to stay. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot, like, you know, and obviously I had you helping me out and stuff like that. But to... Like, there were some problems where I think, you know, like, you know, things could have been booked prior and stuff like that. Or if things, like, which I didn't remember, things were booked, I had stuff planned. And then on the day, they're like...
Well, that ended up... Do you want to say what that was? Because that ended up working out.
Oh, the security guard.
Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about the location.
Oh, the location as well, yeah.
Because we had one location that we were meant to use for, like, the main house.
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
Yeah.
So then we ended up... Well, I think that ended up... As we were booking the Airbnb for James and Oscar to stay in, because they're not from London.
Yeah.
I was literally, like, booking it, doing that. You called me saying, yeah, our location's gone. Yeah. I was like, well, okay, I literally just booked a yard.
Yeah.
So we're using that.
Yeah.
And Oscar's like, well, that works for me, because now I don't have to, you know, spend time setting up things for hours. I can just set it up the night before, and once you get in, you just shoot. Yeah. So.
And it's crazy, like, you know, like, I had this place booked. It was, you saw it. It was nice, right? Yeah. I hadn't really spoken to this person, like, it was like off a website type thing, and I think what happened there was they kind of found out what we were trying to do.
What is it?
And then they said, we want more, and I was like, we can't. That's how it goes, and then man. They were like, we're booked already now. I was like,
yeah, you see how it's, you see how
you know, it's like, it's crazy. That's just the way it is. And then I was sitting there all stressed. I was like, fuck, we're not gonna have a film.
Hey man,
you were like, go on Airbnb. I was like, sweet.
I was that we're using the B&B. I said Oscar and James. I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like, yeah. We're using that B&B.
I mean, no idea if we were allowed to film that.
I don't know.
For me, once I got everything kind of booked and sorted out, I was like, okay, like, I've got it under budget with the booking. I think I had like, I think it was 500 to 600 quid for like things to, like a safety net, you know.
Yeah, in case we need anything extra,
in case we need anything else. And then, because I remember first budgeting that very last scene, the party scene. And I was looking at it and I was like, you know what, even if we paid extras, yeah, we needed, like in say like, feature film world, right? Mm-hmm. An extra would cost like 100 quid. We needed 50.
We needed a lot of extra.
You know, so that was never gonna happen.
We needed 50 and about 7 came.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna talk about it, bro, because I don't care. I'm transparent. I talk about my losses and I talk about my wins. Right? We had a party scene in the short, right?
Yeah.
It's not a massive part of the short film. It's like
it's very quick.
Yeah, there's an element of the short film that's almost like a music video. And it's just music playing over the top with me shouting a bunch of nonsense over the song and lots of quick cutting stuff. So part of the quick cutting stuff is he's at a party. So I was like, all right, cool. We might as well just have a party.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of people. I messaged my boy, he knows also a lot of people. I said, we might as well just have a party. Went and got a nice little venue. Invited some people, had a guest list.
Yeah.
Full, like, I had to tell people to stop, don't bring, maybe like, if you want to bring 3 people, you can maybe bring 2 because we were going over, like the list was packed up. Yeah. So I'm like, cool. Everyone's going to get right at a certain time. We filmed some bits and bobs before they were going to get here. We just sat and we waited.
We waited.
And we kept on waiting. And I'm like, all right, cool. We're here for another hour. And nobody's here.
We even said there was going to be money behind the bar.
Bro. Well.
Like free drinks.
I think even, which was a bad idea, because even if there were like 6 people that came, it still was like, I think it was like 250 I paid.
Yeah, they rinsed.
For like 7 people.
Yeah.
So.
No, but that was like a first come, first serve.
Yeah, I get it.
Try and get people in. Flip it over. It's like, you know, I feel bad because we said to this place.
We like, told them, like, well, yeah, there's going to be bare people here. You're going to get bread. It's going to be a massive.
That's why they've done it on a discount.
Exactly. Well. I feel very bad, but the game's the game. Yeah. It is what it is. We didn't know that we had.
It was out of our control.
Exactly. We thought there was going to be bare people pulling up. Yeah. And like 6 or 7 people pulled up.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I was burning. I can't lie. I had a smile on my face, but I was burning that night. Because my main thing was, all right, cool, we have to shoot. Like, we need to figure out. Because this ain't going to be party anymore.
Yeah.
We got to figure out how to make this look like I'm at a party.
It was meant to look busy. You were meant to be bumping into people.
Exactly, having fights and interacting with all the guests.
Even I jumped in to add an extra.
You know what I'm saying? You had to jump in.
You know what I mean?
Your like, boy Elliot.
My boy Elliot.
He was helping out. Big up Elliot, who was a runner for that day. He got a little nice call, almost like a speaking role.
Yeah.
The security guard. Damn, they got on. You know what I'm saying? That's what we had to do, bro. People that were there working had to become actors because nobody freaking turned up to the shoot.
I fully hired a security guard. Expecting
50 people to pull up
to, and because they wanted checking IDs,
he had all of that. Like, he was ready.
Like, he was a licensed dude.
He was outside. This guy was like, "Cool, if anything happens, let me know. I can do that. I can do this. I need to do things at the O2. I can." I'm like, "Hey, bro, like, it should be okay."
Yeah.
But if it did pop off, I kind of wanted to because I want to see this. I want to see what you're talking about.
Just add it.
But that nothing happened.
Nothing.
And the only fight that happened was the ones that was in the script.
In the script.
That's what happened. But it was fun, man.
Yeah.
It was a fun. It made me. Yeah. I knew it was fun because I wanted to do it again. Like, even when I finished it.
Oh, mate, I enjoyed
everything. Like, it was a long lap. Like, I was planning it and doing everything while I was shooting Mr. Loverman. So I didn't have that much. And even like the point in time when we was planning it was when I was in the most. Like, there's an episode of Loverman that I'm in a lot. Compared to
we had to move.
We had to keep moving. I was like, listen, I was like, we could have planned this earlier, but nothing was really set in stone.
Yeah.
Now that things are set in stone, we have to do it now. Yeah. And it has to be the time where I'm busy. So
yeah,
we have to get it done. But it was fun. Like, the experience was fun. That's why we're going to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, look, from my perspective as someone, this is my first time producing, like at a level with you producing, you know what I mean? Like, running the behind the scenes of the show whilst you guys are trying, like, doing your thing on the screen. Every struggle and that I came against and I had to figure out, I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it made me like, this kind of stress in a weird way is kind of fun.
It's a good, you know what I mean? It's like my mom says, like, you got problems, but it's good problems to have.
Yeah, because you're making something.
You know what I'm trying to say? Like, we're not worried about like not paying our mortgage and stuff like that. Like, we're worrying about how we're gonna shoot a flipping short film. Like, it's an issue.
Yeah.
But like, there's much worse issues to have in this day and age. Like, we're cool. Like, we're still doing okay. But what's fun? We're gonna do it again. Like, we got. I even told you this. Remember the script I sent you the other day?
Yeah.
Next one. I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay, great.
We're doing another script.
Send me that one.
Yeah. We're doing another script.
I was halfway through it.
So. Yeah, I know. The one that I sent you.
Yeah.
I won't say what it was because I probably will do it eventually.
Yeah.
But it was.
It's good script.
The concept is great.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's a feature originally. Mm. But I'm like, cool. I want to really like try and cook as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And that concept is just easy. Like, as a filming concept, it's just like, the reason why I said I could do it as a feature if I spent maybe like 20 odd grand is because of how simple it is.
Yeah.
I would even do it as a short. It would probably be way less cheaper than what we did for Crosshatch.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I wrote it like that. But I'm like, nah, man, let me actually try and really start cooking up as
so
the next one that is almost finished. I got like one more scene to shoot. Mm. Probably send it to you by the end of the week.
Sweet.
That one is good. Like, the concept isn't as in depth as the other one.
Yeah.
But in terms of like what we can do with it, like on a filmmaking side of it, I'm talking like sound, visually,
how
we can like push it out. Like, there's a package that I kind of want to
be
able to, like, I won't get into the concept mainly because. No, I won't. We're cooking. We're gonna cook. You don't even know exactly. I don't. So I don't want to tell you now.
I don't know. They can't know
exactly. But I want to get in detail, but I can't. Cause I don't. So just know we're cooking. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good.
If we're talking about Sam real quick, can I shout someone out?
Yes, demand them.
Can I shout them out?
Shout them out.
They honestly
clutch.
They came in clutch.
Clutch.
The Butterfly Boys, Butterfly House, Butterfly House Production. Those boys,
Man, clutch.
Like MPC Mafia. You know what I mean? Like. Those boys, like, they're my boys. They're my family. I love them. I work with them. When I said to them, can you guys help us with a track and help us with the audio for the film?
Everything. Like, and recorded the track. Like,
they made the track.
Sound mixing. Honestly, the lot.
Like, we went there. We done the whole track. They made it fresh, new fresh. Track.
We were there. Like, I felt like I was a rapper. Like, I was there from scratch, cooking the beat up, looking at my lyrics going,
honestly,
nah, I can't do that again. I just need to give
them the biggest shout out because they were, like, crazy helpful. And I also want to shout out everyone that worked on the film and helped
out. Yeah. Shout out to everyone that worked on the film.
You know what I mean? Because...
I should really do that. Shout out to everyone. Yeah. Monique, Tyreek, Isaac, who all did play parts in the series, short film. Obviously, Oscar, Kelsey, James, you mentioned them already.
Yeah.
Butterfly Boys.
Yeah.
Shout out to Raz, my boy Raz, and the Make a Numbers team. He helped out with post. Lawrence, who edited it. There was actually a lot of flipping people. Ruben, who did the animation.
Yeah.
Who else? I don't miss anyone. I feel bad.
Big Martin.
Come on. Oh, yeah. Everyone that helped. Yeah. Martin. Who has really done everybody. He helped out with location.
I pulled in every favor.
Listen. We did what we had to do. My boy Charlie, who helped out with like all the prop. Like Charlie, I worked with my Death in Paradise.
Yeah.
He was on prop standby.
Yeah.
So all the props I needed.
You got that fake.
All of that stuff. Like, I just messaged him saying, where do I get this stuff?
Yeah.
And he sent me links for it. All I had to do was click order. Bobby, Backstrap Bobby, who was a DJ. Schiffer, who linked me up with Bobby. Who else? There was a lot of people that helped out with the thing, you know. Everyone. If I'm missing people, I apologize, but you know who you are, innit? Everyone that helped out. That was my first short, man. It's my baby.
That's the main thing for me as well, sidebar. Like, I wanted to make sure that I could help create something that you wanted to create. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, it's one thing, like, me like sitting back doing technician for the podcast, you know what I mean? Like that's not easy, but like I can do it. Like,
it's straightforward. It's just
But for the short film, bro, I did not want to make any mistakes. To be completely honest,
no one did. I knew we were gonna make mistakes.
Yeah,
but I was like, if we can't make mistakes, if we can avoid it, absolutely,
even better.
You know what I'm saying? But
honestly, bro, like I know you say it was a tester and stuff. I actually want to say to you that I think you smashed it.
Appreciate it.
To be completely honest. Like, I know you're like, it's a tester, I might not put it out there.
I'm happy with it.
Fucking amazing.
Happy with it.
Because obviously it's my first time producing as well. Like, but honestly, like, I think what we done with what we had, with the limitations we had, I think we have made something.
Yeah, really good we did.
There, to be completely
honest. That's what I say when I talk about it in hindsight.
Yeah.
When I talk about everything, things that went wrong. Like even I ain't gonna get into the budget, but the budget was meant to be a different budget.
Yeah.
It ended up being just me. We won't get into that.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. You think about everything that was involved in it, it's cold. Like it's hard.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
if you think of it as purely as just a piece of art, it's cool. Like, it's not crazy.
That's little breadcrumbs there and there.
Yeah, like, definitely not shit. Like, there's no way in hell. If anyone watching them calls it shit, I'm like, you're capping it. Like, it's not shit.
If when it comes out and you get to see that last scene, I get emotional too. Yeah. I mean, bro, you say you actually weren't like, you know, bro. I get emotional that last scene. We're looking at it, bro. Honestly,
it could have been. But if I had a director, if I wasn't directing at the same time, if I had a director that could actually give me direction to how to do the last scene, it could have been way. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh man,
I think it's great, but I might be biased because I like.
Yeah, I know. You're my guy. You are being biased. Yeah, I'm honest. Yeah. I'm my biggest critic. Like, I'm honest. I'm not gonna say it's dead. Like, it's not dead. Like, it's good. It's really. But I'm also would admit. It could be way better, which is why I'm going to do it again. Yeah. Which is why I want to make sure the next... I'm not going to be in the next... I might be in the next short, we'll see. But I'm not going to be playing the main character.
To be completely honest, if you're not in the next short, help me out.
Yeah. I'm not going to be in the next one. But I'm going to lie, the one I sent you had a main character.
Mm.
The next one that I'm going to do now doesn't really have a main character. Exactly. I won't talk about it too much.
What?
Exactly. Yeah. I know. It doesn't really have a main character. It does, but you never see him.
Okay.
We're up to something now, because I'm so gassed. I can't wait. It's gonna be so cold.
Honestly, you guys, this guy's a magician when he's writing, bro. I'm reading this stuff and I'm like, I didn't expect it. I'm not no disrespect or anything, but I'm like, how has he come up with a story? Like what is popping out of his mind? You know?
That's what I say. I say that to people, long term, in like 15 years time. I mean, I don't know. It depends what happens. But I feel like I'll be known more as a writer than an actor. I'll be so real. I'll still be acting. But yeah, man. If things go the way I want it to go, I'll be way... If you go, who's Taj Mahal? You go, the writer.
The writer.
Or producer, whatever. I don't think actor will be the first thing you say.
No.
It is now, obviously. Yeah. But I feel like in about 10 years' time...
I kind of fuck with that. Because you know, like, what you want that to be. Yeah. I respect that.
If it all goes my way, if you never know, if I book something in 2 years that makes me a flipping megastar, and no matter what I do, I'm always gonna be an actor. Yeah. Hey man, it is what it is.
It is.
The way I see my path going, which you never know how it's gonna change. That's how I see it going. But
that's sick, man.
That was the start of it. That's how it started. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, man.
All right, cool. I'm gonna wrap this up now because this is meant to be a 25-minute episode, but it's not that anymore. We started waffling, so yeah, I'm gonna wrap this up. Yeah, like I said, I would like to say I'm back. We're back doing the podcast. I've got a few more guests that I've been speaking to already, and we're going to get them done. So, yeah, we're back. We're back doing the podcast episodes. There's some other things as well that I've got cooking up that are podcast-esque, but not really. Without getting too much into it, it's got to do with some things are sport. There's something to do with food I want to do. I ain't going to talk too much in it, but just know that there's a lot of stuff cooking on this channel that we're going to got coming out soon. As usual, like, subscribe, share. We'll be back. I haven't done this in a long time, bro. I don't even know how to flipping sound off my videos anymore. This is a myth. In a bit, take care. You lot enjoy yourselves. Much love. Yeah, man. You lot, cut, man. Leave. Go away.